Save big on brunch for mom, all in the Kroger app. Get 16-ounce packs of flavorful Angus 90% lean ground sirloin for $4.99 each with a digital coupon. Then buy two, get two free on 12 packs of delicious Coca-Cola, Pepsi, or 7-Up, all with your card. Shop these deals at your local Kroger today, or tap the screen now to download the Kroger app to save big today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Prices and product availability subject to change. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
You asked for it. Here it is. It's a podcast from Apathetic Enthusiasm.
On this episode, we talk the three L's. That's right. Lasso, Loki, and what happened the last 4 months here on Apathetic Enthusiasm.
Caught me off guard, Brandon. I was going to do it. It was hesitant. We're shaking off the rust. Hello, yeah. Everybody. I'm Travis.
Hello, everybody. I am Brandon. And this is Apathetic Enthusiasm. Since May of 2021, Apathetic Enthusiasm has been on hiatus, but no longer, friends. We're here for you.
You know what I just realized, Brandon? I think I've got like a virtual background thing going on because it's doing like a green screen effect on the Rick and Morty poster behind me. It's weird. I wasn't ready for that. Anyway, hello everybody. Welcome to the podcast that is all about Brandon and I. We have been on hiatus for a little while, about 4 months. Yeah. About the approximate length of one Rick and Morty season, give or take a few weeks. If you are a fan of Interdimensional RSS, you know we just got through season 5 and had lots to talk about, including some great interviews and things like that. So if you've somehow missed any of those episodes, I encourage you to go check out Interdimensional RSS. But we are excited to be back talking to each other and talking about the things that we have watched and seen and experienced that were not Rick and Morty, to include the three L's as we've in our best like preacher, like forming a message. We're going to come up with something that all starts with the same letters.
That's the best way to get any kind of speech going. You find a gimmick whenever you're writing a speech. We're like, okay, the three L's. There we go. When I did my Podfest thing, it was the three C's. Like I've ever said the three C's about anything in normal conversation. Have I ever said to you, hey Travis, yeah, you really got to think about the three C's of podcasting? No, I've never said that except for me to tell you, hey, by the way, when I'm doing this speech for Podfest, I'm going to talk about the three C's of podcasting.
That's right. but do you still remember the three C's?
Yeah, content, community, and collaboration.
There it is. He's got it. He's still got it. Thanks for coming to our TED Talk. Well, Brandon, for starters, we'll just before we get into the nitty gritty, the meat of this episode, we will remind folks who have been away for so long how they can interact with us, get in touch with us in case they have any thoughts on this discussion or they want to follow along with all of our comings and goings on the social internet. We are over on Twitter at Apathusiast. I am at Jugglemino. He is at Barnyard Cruise. You can find us on Facebook, facebook.com/apatheticenthusiasmshow, or send us an email, apatheticenthusiasmshow@gmail.com. We still have an Instagram, apathetic_enthusiasm, and our website, apatheticenthusiasm.com. Brandon has been a busy bee working on those websites.
Buzz.
we are currently streaming live over on twitch.tv/apatheticenthusiasm. You can join us Monday nights when we record most of our content and interact with those shows, whatever that may be, whether that's Apathetic Enthusiasm or Interdimensional RSS. You can also catch video versions of our podcast at youtube.com/apatheticenthusiasm. Thanks to everybody who is newly subscribed over there. If you're watching this on YouTube, hit that subscribe button, like, comment, let us know that you're here. We see the viewer counts. We know whether or not you're here, but we appreciate you all the same.
And there's hundreds of you. And all of you clamoring for more of our thoughts and words, and we just can't sustain it. But we do appreciate you being out there. And oh my God, there's 200 more out there in the stream. This is incredible. Look, if you want to be a part of history, be sure to go out to twitch.tv/apatheticenthusiasm. Ladies and gentlemen, it is amazing. We might have to pause for a second, Travis, because this is blowing my mind. Oh my God. Oh, we need, let's enhance our spam bot. All of a sudden we got to get, the moderation.
The chat is moving too fast. It's going There's crazy. So many people interacting. It's amazing.
Oh, it's slowed down. Okay. Oh, yep. It's just Matt again. Okay.
Yep. All right, just Matt. Finally, you can support all of our podcast endeavors. You can buy a t-shirt at apatheticenthusiasm.com/shop. That'll take you to our Tee Public page. Or you can support the show at patreon.com/apatheticenthusiasm. We've got some new content up there, a couple of Rick and Morty commentary tracks. And there's stuff out there. You can hang out there or don't. We appreciate y'all the same.
Or don't. The last thing, if you are making a podcast on your own, make sure to use the code AEPOD over at blueberry.com for first month free. And we get a little bit of money depending on which plan you pick. It's not a lot of money. It's really just that first month.
Yeah. You know what that made me think of? That made me think about the first half of season 5 of Rick and Morty when we got really into the bit about talking about promo code RNP15, yeah. RNP15 for 15% off a loot crate.
That's right.
And then we were like talking about it at an annoying level. And then one week we just stopped. We just stopped bringing it up altogether.
We did. Yeah. It's nowhere. It's nowhere at all. But you can have your loot crate by going to lootcrate.com and use the code RMP15. I don't even know if the code still works, but if it does, try 15% it. Off your first loot crate.
What could hurt? Yeah. Anyway, it's going to be back. It's going to, relax, kick off our shoes. I mean, I don't know why I chose to wear shoes every time we recorded an interdimensional RSS, but it's good to have the toes out, wiggle them around a little bit, and relax.
I don't kick my shoes off when we record. And as a matter of fact, I will be honest with you. I'm starting now. I'm going to be honest with you. Starting now.
Oh, just now.
Okay. I sometimes if I'm walking through the house and I don't have shoes on, I will put shoes on before we start recording because I'm more comfortable with shoes on while recording.
That's very interesting.
Yeah.
Do you have any idea why that is?
I don't know. I think it's part of feeling like performative, where like I feel like I have to be entertaining, and then I want to feel comfortable in my body to be able to do that, right? To be stupid. Sure. and act all kind of weird. I will even like pajamas, or if I'm like I've been messy all day. Sometimes I'll take the pajamas off and I'll put on pants, like different pants, not pajama pants.
Actual human pants, like your COVID pants.
Yeah, I'll put the pants on, I'll put the shoes on, and then I'm ready to go. It's weird. It's like I have to floss my teeth before I go for a run. I don't know why.
That's a thing for you?
It is a thing, yeah. Because like as you're running, like everything starts to feel tight, and then. For some reason, I have this like mental thing where I think that my teeth are too tight together. And so I floss beforehand to give it just a little bit of extra.
A little bit of space to get tight, to tighten up.
Yeah.
That gotta tighten up the old teeth when you go for a run.
It's so very strange.
Sure you floss before. Yeah, that is very strange. I mean, the shoes thing, I think I get the pre-run flossing. Probably not. Bust out the old water pick before you do a 10K just to make sure everything's in its proper place.
I did a test Sunday, as a matter of fact, not with the running thing, but with a separate thing, which is I went to Vaughn's, and they have the pre-made cocktails
for people outside of California. Vaughn's is a grocery store.
Safeway, Ralph's, Lucky's, Pick and Save. Biggly Wiggly's, Kohl's, not Kohl's. But anyway, like the pre-made cocktails. And normally those, these pre-made cocktails like margaritas, Bloody Marys, they're very, very, very sweet. They're not as good as a regular cocktail that you would make on your own or get at sure. a bar. But I went to the store and I saw this glass bottle of a margarita, pre-made margarita. It's small. It's about like the size of a Gatorade bottle, essentially. And it was made using I'll just say Patron, but it wasn't necessarily Patron.
Jose Cuervo?
No, it was a name brand, but I can't remember which one it was.
The size that you reference makes me think Patron. That's what existed in the theater of the mind when you were describing it. So yeah,
okay,
let's just go with that.
It was like a smaller Gatorade bottle, like a mini Gatorade bottle, but then like spread out, like a little fatter, chubbier, small Gatorade bottle.
Okay. like a Patron bottle.
Yeah, like a jug, like a small jug.
Okay.
Regardless. Anyway, it was very good. It was the best pre-made margarita I've ever had, and I'm craving it right now. It actually sounds good to me. But I finished the whole thing off on Saturday. Sunday morning I woke up and I kind of had a headache. The first thing I did was I wanted to test something because I have this theory about flossing and about my face and my head feeling tight. Before I brushed my teeth, before I took aspirin, I flossed my teeth and I hopped in the shower to see if my headache would go away. And it did. So it's psychosomatic. Most likely. You heard it here.
Bad hangover. Get to flossing. Dr. Cruz says so. All right. That's interesting. That's good. And I'm glad that the margarita mix was so good you couldn't remember the name of it.
Well, I got drunk. The floss doesn't restore your memory.
That's fair. You need very special magic floss for that. Which, speaking of magic floss and all things magical and mystical, it has been a while since we last did one of these episodes. May 25th, I think was the release date of the last Apathetic Enthusiasm. It's been sitting in my Apple Podcasts for so long, reminding me that we talked about My Hero Academia 4 months ago. But a lot has happened in that time. And the first thing that we thought to talk about was all the things that have occurred in the world of the Marvel Cinematic Universe, to include a show that we were hyping in previous episodes. And then the entire show had its entire run and we never did another episode to follow up on it. But that is the show Loki. This was a surprising series to me. I don't know. I don't know how in depth we want to get into Loki, because frankly, it feels like it's been a long time since I watched it. This was a Disney Plus TV show that really set the course for an entirely new direction in the Marvel Cinematic Universe. What lingering thoughts do you have about Loki and where the MCU has gone now since that series aired?
Well, I want to talk about Rick and Morty for half a second.
Nope.
Welcome.
All right, that's fine. Hey, everybody. Welcome to Internet RSS.
All right.
Coming to you live from inside an Apathetic Enthusiasm, where our podcasts are mixed up and we don't know what we're doing anymore. This is International RSS, the unofficial Rick and Morty podcast.
That's good. Turns out you're the new announcer for International RSS.
All the roles are changing.
The reason I want to talk about Rick and Morty just briefly is because Mike Waldron, the showrunner of Loki, came from Rick and Morty. That's where we know him from, and uh, he's 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 since gone on to create the Starz show Heels, by the way, the wrestling show. But yeah, so Mike Waldron, it's interesting watching Loki through that entire 6 episodes. At the same time, we're kind of going over, well, maybe a little bit before Rick and Morty started. Yeah, well, same time. Essentially the same time, right?
Yeah, it was pretty much about the same time.
Yeah.
The series kind of started around the same time.
Yeah. Okay. And then we got to the end, the season 5 finale of Rick and Morty, which was partially written by Jeff Loveness, friend to Mike Waldron. And there were some similarities between the two series, which I thought was interesting, and I would love to get them both in the same room and be like, were you kind of talking to each other about this on and off again? But the whole thing with Loki, going back to Loki, the multiverse, introducing aspects of the multiverse, and really leading us into the next phase of the Marvel Cinematic Universe, with shows like What If, getting ready for the new Spider-Man, No Way Home, with old Doc Ock, Green Goblin, rumored Jamie Foxx as Electro, Lizard, and maybe Sandman as well. That coming out, we've seen in the previews, Doctor Strange messing with the multiverse. We also know that Doctor Strange 2, Multiverse of Madness, is coming out. We know that Kang the Conqueror is in Ant-Man Quantumania. So Loki is a big deal as far as all of those new movies coming out, because it kickstarted our understanding of what the multiverse is and what it will look like.
Yeah, I think for me, the next movie that is due to come out, the Eternals film in early November, that was a movie that for me I was always kind of on the fence about, like, is this going to be one of those fringe groups, sort of the way I felt about Guardians of the Galaxy when that first started getting promoted, where I was like, is this really going to be a group that I care about? Are these characters really going to have an effective element in the bigger story when they've been on Earth for eons and they haven't really played a major role up to this point? And then all of a sudden we watch Loki and all of the ways that they mess with time, the way they move forward and backward in time, and then essentially when they break time and split it into this multiverse, all of a sudden I'm like, wow, okay, now the Eternals maybe have a different impact potentially. Maybe looking back at what they did throughout time could have a different effect on who they're interacting with or what they're doing. So for me, I'm way more hyped for that movie than I was at the last time we did this podcast. And then, you know, even shows like What If, where when that was first advertised, I thought, okay, these are just going to be a bunch of like throwaway scenarios, but now you have like canon different versions of time where the Watcher is watching What If scenarios, but they exist somewhere. They exist somewhere outside the central finite curve, right? So there's like it adds a new perspective to the MCU, which I think is pretty awesome.
Yeah, agreed. Now there are some movies that aren't so steeped in multiverse stuff. Sure. Shang-Chi just came out, which you saw.
I
haven't seen
opening day ticket.
I haven't seen, but I have seen all the spoilers because I'm not comfortable yet going to a movie theater. And as much as I want to see these movies, my protection of myself and my family is more important to me.
And that's why I went and saw the movie.
Yeah. But you live in Oklahoma where they're taking care of business, where
COVID definitely doesn't exist. out here in Oklahoma,
and I'm in California, where the cases are going down. So, you know, that's why I care more about protecting
myself. Exactly. Get your shots, everybody. Just get them. We're done talking about it. I saw Shang-Chi, and I thought it was amazing. Phenomenal movie. It has again has me hyped for Marvel movies. It's an original character that I was not familiar with in the comics, which from what I hear is maybe a good thing because of some of the problematic ways that the character was portrayed in the comics. But there's a conscious effort to retcon some of the ways that they dealt with the Ten Rings and talked about certain characters, the Mandarin, is retold. They've addressed some of the ways that they utilize those characters in the past, which I think is great. And they are playing with new aspects and new characters in this movie that it's just showing a different side. It's bringing other characters to the forefront. And you have people, you know, warping through tunnels like Doctor Strange. And it's now we're kind of used to it. Like, we're like, oh, yeah, okay. What's Doctor Strange's buddy's name? Wong. Wong. He is like the new, almost like the new Coulson, in terms of just like showing up in movies and kind of just like doing something in the background, and then you know, back to the sanctuary or whatever it's called. So, I think it's great. A really solid story. Marvel crushed it. I did see Black Widow as well, which was good for what it was, but I felt like didn't have the same level of stakes that maybe it could have, which after the events of Endgame, if it had released prior to Infinity War or Endgame, I think would have been terrific, if it found itself in the right release order within that timeline. But again, it sets up some other events for the MCU and other characters that could become prominent moving forward. So
yeah,
lots of good stuff happening.
Lots of good stuff. I think that Black Widow, that's why I wasn't excited about it. I would have been excited about a Black Widow film had it been before Natasha dies. It sets some stuff up. It's another one I haven't seen, admittedly. Again, I've read all the spoilers, although that one was, I could have rented that one, I just haven't. And I will, but it sets some things up, like more Dark Avengers kind of thing. But other than that, it doesn't really have a monumental impact to the events going forward.
It helps put a bow on Natasha's story. It helps sort of give that level of backstory and closure to Black Widow's character that you don't necessarily get with her just being sacrificed for the Soul Stone. But
maybe you should have that before she dies.
I agree as well. I agree with that. One last bit of very recent Marvel news. We have a brand new trailer that dropped today for yet another Disney Plus series coming this November, end of November, just in time for the holidays. That is, of course, the new series Hawkeye. Jeremy Renner, once again, coming back as the titular character. Have you gotten a chance to watch this trailer?
No.
What are you doing with your life, man? Siri was looking up Jeremy Renner for me.
I could have done just a little bit of prep work. I started driving home from work, and I sent you just a message saying Hawkeye, and you're like, I'm watching it right now. And then I got home, spent some time with the family, rushed up here because I was running late, And then I forgot all about watching the trailer. What is in the trailer? Can you tell us? Can you describe it for comic book fans?
You may or may not know that within the comics, Hawkeye has been replaced with a female version of Hawkeye, and this is the MCU's version of telling that story. So there's a very definite like Christmas theme throughout the trailer, and I think that's in part because Christmas is happening in the episodes, but also the timing of the series. But Hawkeye is back with his family. The events of Endgame are over. He's back to trying to live that quiet life of, you know, being a dad and being with his family. But unfortunately, news pops up that the alter ego that he was utilizing to express some of the darker sides of his character.
Ronan.
That's right. So that was Endgame stuff, right?
Yeah.
So there is a masked vigilante in the Ronin costume that is wreaking havoc in like New York City or something. So Hawkeye sends his Clint Barton sends whatever his name is sends his family off. While he goes to try and figure out who is portraying Ronan, right? Tracks him down, unmasks the vigilante, and it turns out to be Haley Steinfeld, this female archer who he basically takes under his wing. And I'm guessing throughout the course of however many episodes we get with the series, he will teach her what he knows about being Hawkeye. She's an expert archer already, and this is sort of a passing of the torch for the Hawkeye name to what I'm assuming will be the future Hawkeye throughout the MCU.
Okay. All right. So we are essentially, what we're doing is we're building the Dark Avengers, we're building the Young Avengers, and we're building the X-Men. The X-Men.
As soon as they show up, and it's going to happen at some point.
Because it is heavily rumored that in Doctor Strange 2, Multiverse of Madness, which Wanda is a character in, Wanda Maximoff, the Scarlet Witch now named, that she is going to be up against someone from the X-Men universe. That is the rumor that is out there. I think pushed by one of somebody who's on the production of Multiverse of Madness. So just throwing that out there. The X-Men
are possible.
They will show up. They will show up someday. Ultimately, you know, I think after Endgame, I said I wasn't excited about Marvel stuff anymore, because they have to entice me with something that is equally kind of huge in scope, a threat, a large threat. And I think they have enticed me well enough with my love of the multiversal stuff and a big bad in Kang the Conqueror. And I honestly, I don't know that much about him.
Yeah.
But the way they've set him up at the end of he was like the nameless one at the end of Loki,
right?
But him being like, there's worse than me. I was protecting the timeline, guys.
Yeah.
So see you later.
Yeah, I'm excited to see him pop up throughout some of these different properties, and we haven't seen it yet. But there's already a lot of rumors and speculation about when that will happen. And there's just still so much Marvel to come throughout the rest of the year. Three more months in the year, and we've got, what, two films, I think one or two series still happening.
Yeah.
So,
She-Hulk will come out eventually.
Oh, so much stuff.
Abomination will make an appearance. Supposedly Hulk will make an appearance, or at least Bruce Banner.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Lots of stuff.
Lots. lots of stuff. Daredevil is rumored to be in the next Spider-Man movie as well.
That movie is going to be chock full. Like that.
It's going to be busy.
It's going to be very busy. I agree with you, Brandon. All right. So that's MCU news. We've got you all up to speed. Go watch the Hawkeye trailer. go watch all the trailers.
Go do it.
Are you caught up on What If right now? Do you watch the zombie one?
Yeah, I am. I am all caught up on What If. I like the What Ifs. I like it feels very heavy metal-ish. The show does, and you know what I'm talking about with heavy metal, the animated movie, which is based off of a magazine. It feels, if you've ever seen heavy metal, to the people who are listening, or if you've not seen it, it's all narrated, and the narration is kind of dark. It's ominous. It's very serious. Every episode of What If is narrated by the Watcher, played by he was on Westworld.
Yep.
And damn it, not Edgar Wright. You're gonna look it up, but yep. It is narrated by that gentleman who was a robot in Westworld, Jeffrey Wright.
Yeah, that's the name.
anyway, he is the Watcher, and it's very, very, very cool introducing the Watcher into the MCU officially. And he says, he says he's the Watcher at the start of every episode. And every time Chelsea and my kid, we say, he wants to wash your windows.
Yes, Jeffrey Wright wants to wash your windows.
Wash and wipe your windows. But it's cool. It's the animation is very interesting. It's interesting type of animation. The Sharon Carter Captain America Captain Carter I like that episode. The way she moved, the way she did the action was badass. The What If with the zombies, I like zombie moves. I'm wearing an Evil Dead shirt, which isn't zombies. It's demons. It's possessed people. But whatever, That was cool. Based off of a comic series, Marvel Zombies, as you know. And
because I know everything about Marvel,
which I have some of. There were some cool homages in there. What is cool, and I'm interested to see where it goes. What I'm interested to see is what continuations there may be throughout the What Ifs, and if they leak into any of the live action stuff.
Yeah, I think the biggest payoff for me with the What Ifs would be for them to just have like subtle references in some of the movies or other canon, where they, especially as they dig deeper into the multiverse, and if they end up flashing between different realities or things like that, having a reference of an episode of What If, or the scenarios that were played out in that, even if it's just very brief, I think that would be really interesting to see.
For sure. Well, Marvel aside, Marvel is great. Marvel has taught us many great things, very positive things, which really reminds me of another show that is out there. It's on Apple TV, Travis. I think you know the one. It's Postal Wait.
The morning show. Oh.
I don't know if Postal Wait is on there, actually. Chapel Wait. I think it's based off of a Stephen King short story, Jerusalem's Lot. That's not the show we're talking about. We're talking about football.
Football is life.
Football is life. Danny.
That's right.
Ted
Lasso. Ted Lasso.
Ted Lasso.
Tell
me about
again,
it.
Yes, we've been gone for 4 months, but we were definitely late to the party on Ted Lasso. Not only has season one been out for a very long time and has grown a huge fan base, but we are now into season two began while we were on hiatus. I had heard from a lot of people how great this show was. It always seemed like a show that I think I might have enjoyed, but again, not being an avid soccer fan, I thought, well, all right, maybe I'll check it out at one point, but I'm not super eager to watch this. And then I took a work trip over the last few months, and I thought, oh, I'll try it out. I'll watch a few episodes, and got like three episodes in, and then thought, I need to stop. I need to regroup with a wife and see if this is a show that she would want to watch as well, because as I got to know the characters and Jason Sudeikis's character, the titular, that's two titulars in one episode, Ted Lasso, his attitude and positivity is infectious, and the story of him as the new football coach for a team that their new single owner is actually trying to sort of destroy. It was great. It was his positivity was infectious, and I knew Sheena would really enjoy that. So we went back. We started from square one. I rewatched those like first three episodes with her, and then we kind of just binge watched through the entire first season. And then about a month later, the second season started. And it's been great. I think along with some really funny moments, the show also has like a lot of heart and some really likable characters. So I think the show is great. What got you to finally take the plunge and activate that Apple TV subscription so you could watch Ted Lasso?
Well, just so we're clear, I've had the Apple TV subscription because I have AT&T. So I guess it just comes with it. I don't know.
That's not right.
I don't know.
I have AT&T, and I get HBO Max with AT&T.
Oh, really? Huh. Well, yeah. I don't know how I have it, but I have Apple TV, and maybe I've just been paying for it for for years, and I just haven't. This
guy's so rich, he doesn't even know he's paying for Apple TV.
that's how they get you. I do want to talk about if we can in our last 4 months section, remind me about subscription services. So I had heard about Ted Lasso. The best corollary I can think of is Lost, which is people talked about Lost. Everybody was into Lost. People kept saying, "Yeah, you should watch this. You should watch Lost. Watch that." And then I watched an episode of Lost, and I'm like, "Oh, that was pretty good. God damn it! All right, maybe I'll watch some more." And then I asked Chelsea, "Do you want to watch this pilot with me?" And she said, "Sure." And then we watched Lost, and then we watched the entire thing. We watched the entire thing, and the history was made. Now we're best friends, you and I.
There you go.
Well, Ted Lasso, not everyone had been talking about it, but specifically Matt Sizemore had been talking about it on Rounding the Bases with Rob Askew, and he kept telling me to watch Ted Lasso, and I was like, yeah, I'll give it a try someday. His brother Ross, he also is like, oh, Ted Lasso, you got to watch Ted Lasso. I'll try it someday. At the time, I didn't know I had an Apple Plus subscription. I didn't bother looking into it. I was like, someday I'll watch it. I don't know how, I don't know when, but I'll watch it. I went on a work trip to Virginia. And on the flight to Virginia, I was looking through the American Airlines Entertainment on Board app, like, there's a nobody with Bob Odenkirk, who has successfully recovered. And I'm like, yeah, let me watch this. So I watched Nobody.
And then, how was that, by the way?
It was pretty good. I liked it.
All right.
He's badass. Bob Odenkirk is awesome.
Odenkirk's great.
And then I finished watching that, and I still had like 3 hours to go. I'm like, let me go watch a different movie. But I saw Ted Lasso, And I'm like, well, if I have time, maybe I'll watch this. I finished. I don't even remember what the other movie was. It was probably just like something I'd seen hundreds of times. That's what took priority over Ted Lasso. And I was like, okay, well, now I only have like 40 minutes to go. It's not enough to watch a movie. I've got enough time for this show. I will give it a shot. And so I watched Ted Lasso on the plane. We were starting to land as the episode ended. And I thought that first episode, he ends and, you know, he's, I'm on a work trip and I'm away from my family and away from my son. I was like, oh man, you got me. You got me, bastard.
Got you hooked.
I was there for a week. I flew home. It wasn't on the entertainment on board that time. And I looked for it to watch, you know, just try another episode. So I got home, landed. And then I think maybe that night or the next night, I said to Chelsea, hey, I want to watch this episode. I saw that I had Apple TV subscription. And I'm like, Chelsea, do you want to watch this with me? She's like, okay, all right, sure. So I rewatched the pilot with her. And she said, you know, I like that. You know, I feel like I know where it's going. I know where all the, how the season's going to end, but I want to see how it goes. And so she and I started watching it, and we've been getting through it for the last couple weeks. We're up to speed now in season two, this last episode that came out. And it is just a very, you know, I give shit to, like, what was that show that was on ABC? It was like This Is Us or whatever. I don't know if it was on ABC, but like some of those shows that are, they're emotionally manipulative, that they,
This Is Us. Yeah, no, yeah.
They
you said emotionally manipulative, and I knew exactly what you're talking about.
They manufacture tears, but it's like, it doesn't feel like necessarily genuine emotion. It's based off emotion.
Sometimes the situations seem really contrived or like, okay, I don't know, like when they can sell relationships and you buy the relationship and then like something happens between people, that to me is always the most effective. But sometimes the situations that some of those shows try to create, then it's like, really, like the house burned down because of the crock pot and that's how the dad died. Like, sorry, spoilers for This Is Us fans. I don't know.
So you're tracking. Ted Lasso doesn't feel like that to me, because it, like, on one, it all seems to come from a place of sincerity, and it's not playing it. It's obviously manufactured, because it's a TV show that's written, that writers sit in a writer's room and they put together these situations. Ted Lasso is not a real person. You know, Roy fucking Kent isn't a real person, but these people are all trying to be positive. They're trying to make a better world. And
except for maybe Jamie, but even he's trying at this point.
Yeah.
So,
he's trying, but even though people are trying and they're still doing their best, they still have their failings and their faults. And, you know, it, to me, that's true. It, even like, I'm not a perfect person. I can try my best. You're not a perfect person, as much as I tell you, you are. And you try your best. And that's all we can do to be better people. And that's what kind of jumps out at me.
That aspect of it I love, but the other part of it that I think is really cool to see is how this show deals with mental health and the way that they're not afraid to deal with certain situations, both from like the mental health of the athletes, but also specifically with Ted Lasso, you have this character who is extremely positive, and outwardly he just exudes positivity and happiness and optimism, and as the show continues and you get to know more about this character, you realize that that exterior, that facade, is hiding a lot of pain and a lot of different, just struggling with a lot of realistic, real world problems. And especially in season two, I think they do a lot to talk about mental health and being able to get help with those issues and work through those problems. And I thought that was, for me, the biggest twist in season one, was the fact that you had this guy that was just a ball of happy energy who is going through a divorce and is separated from his kid and all these different things. And it's just really interesting. And I think they do a good job of handling that and sharing those stories and talking about people overcoming that kind of adversity.
Yeah, there are a couple of things that jump out at me, like a depiction of a panic attack. I've never had a panic attack necessarily in that way, but when I went to Podfest, I went to like some kind of Podfest, and you know, I was supposed to meet people and like go to like panels and stuff like that, and then I ended up, I was supposed to like go to like a meetup in the evening for like drinks and meet people that I've never met before. And instead I went to my car and I couldn't move from my car, and I couldn't leave. I couldn't fucking do it. I just even thinking about it, I'm like, I was immovable. So those scenes where it shows the panic attack stuff, even though I wasn't that bad, I could still feel it. It felt like a real thing to me.
Yeah.
And then we talk about like the positivity. Some people have called it toxic positivity. It's not toxic positivity in the sense that a person is so positive that he's making the lives around him worse. It's right. More of a toxic positivity to himself and to his own mental health. But I'll say I'm not the same way. I'm not extraordinarily positive like this character is, but it's all weird coping mechanisms where,
yeah,
you know, like what was it? It's 9/11, the 20th anniversary just happened, and I was reading a oral history of The Onion's 9/11 issue, and it was all about how the people who created the Onion, I think they came from Wisconsin, they had just moved to New York that year, and they were in print in some other states, but they hadn't been in print in New York yet. And the first issue that they had to print just happened to be like that 9/11 issue. And so these people who are satirists, they're comedy writers, they're like, do we do 9/11 jokes? Do we make 9/11 headlines, or do we not pay attention to it at all? And so the oral history is them kind of going over that, and all the headlines are, there's a couple different headlines, like woman bakes a cake, looks like American flag, says it's the only thing I can think of to do. Another one was, it just says like, holy fuck, America under attack. But in the oral history, they talk about how some people need that kind of laughter to cope. That is how some people deal with it.
There's so many high emotions in certain situations that any kind of cathartic expression can be beneficial. So whether that's breaking down and crying, whether that's having a good laugh, a lot of times anything like that can be enough to sort of like release that pressure,
yeah,
and make things a little bit more bearable, which I think we've all gotten better about, at least experiencing and learning some of those things over the last, you know, year and a half. So
yeah. But yeah, so I think that's kind of how that lasso is. And specifically in one scene in season two, where he's trying to be positive, and he's like kind of manically positive, or he's looking at a bunch of different things and like making jokes and kind of avoiding the subject. Like, again, that's make-believe character. That's not me. But
it's not based on Brandon Cruz.
But as well as I, that is the type of thing that I would do.
yeah, absolutely. Absolutely.
So it's a good show. I thank Matt for who might still be in here. Thank him for forcing me to watch something.
Great job, Matt.
He still won't watch Rick and Morty, but it's fine.
Well, and now if you've made the decision to unlock your Apple TV Plus subscription, a few other recommendations I have for folks. The Morning Show is getting ready to come back for its second season. I thought the first season of The Morning Show was really well done. There's a show called Defending Jacob on Apple TV with I think it's Nicole Kidman and Chris Evans, maybe. I think Nicole Kidman might be in that. But it's with the kid who's in the live action Rick and Morty commercials with Christopher Lloyd. That was another good series that I watched on there. Surprisingly good stuff out there in Apple TV Plus land. So yeah, go check it out. Go have fun.
Boop, check it out.
We've got about 10 minutes or so, depending on how quickly we want to cut this off. But there's been so many other things happening in the last 4 months. Rick and Morty, of course. We won't harp on that too much, but another fantastic season. It's been a lot of fun. It's been at the forefront of our minds. And more is to come with Interdimensional RSS, and we're excited to continue working with Adult Swim to try and get some more interviews and things like that. It was a very interesting season for us as podcasters to have a little bit more of a look behind the curtain and have some contacts within the Adult Swim organization to help facilitate some of those things. So not that any of them will ever hear it, but thanks to everybody that helped with all of that. I don't know, any other thoughts on Rick and Morty on our non Rick and Morty podcast?
Yeah, I was thinking about this on the drive home. We talk about flagship podcasts. Technically, we say this is the flagship podcast, but I think flagship is supposed to be like the one that everybody knows, and then the ships around. So Rick and Morty is our flagship podcast. This is more like the pace car. This is
the oldest ship in the fleet. This is the one we bring out for parades, and we're like, oh, it still floats. Look at that. Yeah, like Isn't that fun?
At the air show, it's like the biplane. That's what this is. Rick and Morty, it's fun. We look forward to talking about it again. We will talk about it again, I think, next week for a season 5 recap. We just wanted to kind of have an easy night tonight and talk about not only Lasso, talk about Loki and Marvel stuff, but talk about what happened in the last 4 months. Let's talk about last 4 months. Each of us gets 5 minutes. we don't have to keep time. What has happened? Shoot it off. Last 4 months. Go. Anything that jumps out to you?
I mean, obviously, the hot vax summer was a success. COVID has been eradicated in the United States, right. So that's exciting. Forefront of mind over the last month is just my kids are back in school, like real school, in person school, in a state that does not value COVID. Prevention measures as much as other states do. So that has been incredibly interesting, and that has been challenging for us and our family. But despite all of that, we've gotten a chance to still do some cool stuff. board games are like back in my household in like a fun way, right? We got a game called Ravine, which is a cooperative card game where you the premise is you crash land on an island and you have a certain number of days that you have to survive. And so every night there's some sort of risk or some sort of like attack or something, and you have to work as a team to try and survive those nights. And then during the day you draw cards for supplies that you can use to help your team's health get better and things like that. Really interesting mechanic, and really easy for the entire family to pick up on and play. My family's starting to play more of like these, not just like geared towards kids type board games, but really starting to enjoy and be interested in like that next level of board games, which for me is incredibly exciting. I haven't busted out the Catan board quite yet because I'm waiting for the perfect time, but I did get to play a game of Catan in the last month as well, which
was
a lot of fun. I did not win. I did not win. That is correct. Also throw burrito is happening in my house, which if you know anything about that game, is madness, but is also a lot of fun. Outside of that, you know, we'll just keep it on the gaming theme. There are murmurs and whispers of a potential renewal of our D&D efforts. So I'm very excited about that. And and then I have some travel coming up, hopefully in the near future. So that shouldn't really affect anything with our podcasting schedule. But excited for hopefully the opportunity to go see some folks and see some parts of the world that I haven't been to in the last 4 months, at least. So that'll be fun. What about you? What do you think about subscription services in the last 4 months?
Oh, all right. Jumping into it. Yeah. Well, that last 4 months, I've got a list of things I've written down on my knee. And I'll take a picture of it.
Classic cruise notebook.
I'll take a picture of it for the audience at home. Yeah, you talk about subscription services, Apple TV and all that thing. I've been watching, I read this book called Nudge that I had heard about when I was up in the trip in Virginia. And when I was starting to fly back, I tried getting it on Kindle so I could read it on the flight. I haven't read a book in a long time. For some reason, this book kind of hearing this guy talk about the book made me think, okay, yeah, I'm interested in that. And in what Nudge is, it's about like choice architecture and stuff like that. And essentially, it's these nudges are things that like kind of guide people into making a decision that they would make already. Like it's not telling them the decisions to make, but it's pushing them in a direction to have them make a decision. So if you like go to iTunes and you see all these different bands, or you go to Spotify and you see all these different bands, there's just so many different choices. How do you make a choice? It's easier not to make a choice at that point in time. And it's easier to just listen to what you are or used to listening to. But if there's a pop-up that shows up on your Spotify that says, hey, check out this new band, that is kind of a nudge. That's helping you make a decision. Do I want to listen to this new band? Or do I want to listen to something else? That's an idea of a nudge. So it also talks about in regard to the subscription services, how there's no reminder for you when you start a subscription service to cancel your subscription service. There's no nudge. And there shouldn't be from these companies a nudge to say, hey, you're still paying for this. Do you want to keep paying for this? If there was that nudge that existed from those companies, you would be far more likely to be like, hey, you're right. I should stop paying for this.
Yeah, I haven't actually used Netflix in the last 3 months. Maybe I should cancel that.
Yeah. But like Netflix knows if you've been watching their stuff, and if you have been utilizing their service, if they said like, hey, do you want to keep using the service? We know that you're not, you know, you're only, you've only used an hour of it over the course of a month. Do you want to continue the service? That would be an example of a nudge, which would then make you, the consumer, be like, I do want to make a decision, or I don't want to make a decision to canceling it. It's similarly, it's like burying stuff under bureaucracy. So if you have a service that you have that you're paying for monthly and you want to cancel it, you go to the website and you say, okay, scroll through, like, where can I cancel this? You keep scrolling through, you go like the, you click a couple links, you can't find where to find it. And then it says, in order to cancel this, you have to call this phone number. That's all, I forget, sludge. They call it sludge in the sense that they are keeping you from making a decision because it's making it harder for to make a decision. So anyways,
that is infuriating to me. Just thinking about that. And I know it's done intentionally by so many organizations, but it's when I've been in those situations, I've legitimately paid like second annual subscriptions for things because I couldn't find where to cancel a subscription in time before it was renewed. Yeah. I understand that issue very well.
So I read Nudge. It is a good book. They start talking about a lot of like political, like socio-political stuff later on. But the core concept of it is really interesting to me. And that's why I started working on our website again, because I wanted to make it where it's, you know, people go to the website and then they see a subscription or they see an episode and they don't have to like go digging stuff. It's just right there in front of them to help to, you know, push the decision.
Hey, it looks like you haven't listened to this podcast in a long time. are you sure you still want to subscribe?
Are you sure you still want to subscribe? Now, moving on real quick, I've got a couple more things here. If Matt might be asleep, he said he was going to go to sleep. He said he's about to pass out. This is what I have for Matt. Matt and I, we played the demo for Madden 2021 or whatever the next
22.
Yeah, whatever the next Madden is. And it's a Madden game, so it hasn't really changed. We played together a couple times and he kept losing to me, and Matt is better at Madden than I am, and it is annoying that I kept beating him. So we did play one round, and I clearly let him win that one. And then you know, I was telling my kid earlier, whenever I play games with Unky Size, sometimes I let him win a lot. That way, he'll keep playing games with me. And then, you know, let him win and then he'll be happy. And then we can play another round and then I can win. We had a rematch. Matt actually won, because my guy, I was trying to do a screen pass and he wouldn't throw. But then all of a sudden he's trying to pump fake. And I threw it to my guy and then he tried to hurdle over a dog pile and then he fumbled and then Matt won. Anyways, needless to say, Madden is fun. We should play that again sometime. Matt. No, I didn't let you win, Matt. No. He's in the chat.
No, it's because of your great Madden skills that you lost.
I told him, stop throwing intersection. Stop throwing intersections. Stop throwing interceptions and you will win. He won when he finally stopped throwing interceptions. So
speaking of intersections, I am starting a fantasy. I'm not starting it. I'm not the commissioner, but I am in a fantasy football league with people from work, a bunch of computer programmer type people who many of whom do not follow football at all. And I'm extremely excited to see how this season goes with a bunch of people who embrace the fact that that fantasy football is like D&D for jocks. They're all about the D&D part, not so much the jocks part. I'm very interested to see how the season goes and see, you know, what they think about fantasy football. I think at least eight teams managers have never played fantasy football before. So I think it should be really interesting.
Should be really interesting. I'm not on a fantasy football league this year. I almost was on yours. but I didn't beat him to the punch.
That's right. That's right.
The last thing I have was this guy, Jeff Skunk Baxter, who was a guitarist for Steely Dan and a guitarist for Old Doobie Brothers. I started paying more attention to him recently because I think I saw him outside of my work. He was walking out of the building as I was walking out of the building, and he has a ponytail. He has a like gray hair ponytail, slightly balding. And he's got this badass handlebar mustache. Instantly recognizable. I'm pretty sure that's Jeff Skunk Baxter. And I kind of stalked him through the parking lot and was like, it has to be him. I saw a video on Instagram wearing the same exact thing, all black, that same hair, mustache. Like, oh, shoot. So I started watching more videos of his because he is a guitarist, but he's also in the DOD and he does stuff. And he was talking about like innovation and innovative thinking. And then I was like, okay, move over to his guitar stuff. And he's talking about like different styles, and we all, even doesn't matter if you're a heavy metal guy or whatever, as long as you have your style, no one can do it like you can do it. Like that is your style. I'm like,
you sent me that video.
I did.
I didn't know that was the guy that you were talking about.
Yeah. Yeah. What a badass. Anyway, Jeff Skunk Baxter, I am going to be his best friend. I'm going to make him be my best friend. I will stalk him till he is.
Be my best friend, Skunk.
Come on, Skunk.
Well, there you have it. There's the 4-month summary. You're all up to speed now with the wild things happening in our lives. If you're listening to this podcast, let me say thank you. Thank you for going on this journey with us, for continuing to tune in. There's no Ricks, no Mortys to keep you coming back. It's just me and Brandon. And so we appreciate you guys supporting the show. And just if you're new here, maybe you're a transplant from season 5 of Rick and Morty and you're here for more pod. We appreciate you checking out these episodes. And we'll be back in the flow of things, probably doing Apathetic Enthusiasm about every other week, as we work through in an unknown length of time before season 6 of Rick and Morty, which will probably happen sometime in 2022. So lots more Apathetic Enthusiasm coming up. We appreciate it. Appreciate you. And Brandon, it's all yours. The final word to send us home.
The final word is, you said all of my appreciation stuff, and I have, I appreciate you just as much, if not more, maybe a little less, but if not more, thank you all for listening. You're all wonderful. The folks who are subscribed to this, if you like this episode, much more free flowing, much more loosey goosey. I feel like we are doing that more on this than we are on the Rick and Morty stuff. Make sure you subscribe, tell your friends and family. And I can't wait to talk to you more about this week to week. maybe other week. See you later.
Bye, everybody.
Bye.
Save big on brunch for mom, all in the Kroger app. Get 16-ounce packs of flavorful Angus 90% lean ground sirloin for $4.99 each with a digital coupon. Then buy 2, get 2 free on 12 packs of delicious Coca-Cola, Pepsi, or 7-Up, all with your card. Shop these deals at your local Kroger today, or tap the screen now to download the Kroger app to save big today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Prices and product availability subject to change. Restrictions apply. See site for details.